morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time it is, wherever you are when you are listening. This is the Monsters and Friends podcast, and I am, of course, your host, Michael Patrick. So, for those wondering, Barry has actually gone on vacation this time. The reason I know this is that he left me a note, and I'm going to read it to you guys. It's pretty detailed. It says, "I'm on vacation. Bye. Barry." So, yeah, I think he decided that he really needed to just get out there and actually have a little bit of a break during the Christmas season or the holiday season, kind of wherever we are right now. The winter season? Some sort of season, right? So I heard his holiday episode, and it was actually a pretty good one. So much so that we've actually decided to go ahead and make some great additions to the pod in 2019, but we'll get into that stuff kind of at the end of today's podcast. To start, though, I wanted to say a huge thank you to everyone that has supported the podcast thus far. When I started this, my goal for the year was 500 downloads. I figured maybe I had a shot, but the more I thought about it, the more I realized I didn't think that I had a chance. But thanks to some amazing support from all of you, at the end of the year on December 31st, we were sitting at 515 downloads. So, again, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. I know I've said it before, and I'm sure I'll say it again, but this started off as a passion project, and I thought maybe if I can get 10 to 15 people to listen, that it would be great, but it's turned into so much more. 2018 was fun, but I think 2019 is going to be absolutely fantastic. So please make sure that you stick around to the end of today's podcast to find out a little bit of what 2019 is going to bring the Monsters and Friends family. With all that being said, though, let's dive right into Episode 7 of the Monsters and Friends podcast. So, to start, one of the reasons that this cryptid really fascinated me was because of the circumstances in which he first appeared. So, I'm a giant geology nerd, and I really love the way that parts of the Earth were formed, and kind of all the bends and folds and everything else. It just blows my mind. And when I'm not in the cabin, I call the Midwest home, and the Midwest is pretty flat, right? There's not a whole lot here. There's not many mountains here, but mountains are my jam. Whenever we drive from our house in the Midwest to go and visit family in Virginia, I'm constantly wrenching my neck on the road when we get into West Virginia to try and see the amazing folds and the bends in the rocks and the mountains. If you've ever driven into West Virginia, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The way the mountains kind of bend and fold and roll and break, it's amazing. It's beautiful, and it blows my mind, the level of ferocity that must have taken, right? Now, what does all this have to do with this episode, you ask? Well, you know what? Let me tell you. This episode, we're going to be talking about a creature that lives in the Pacific Northwest. It was first seen after one of, if not the most famous volcanic eruption in the U.S., So this episode, we're going to be talking about a cryptid called the Bat Squatch. Okay, get your giggles out now. I know it's a funny name, but this is actually a pretty interesting story. So, being the geology nerd that I am and living on the Pacific Northwest for a while, I had the opportunity to go to this place. But let me give you a little bit of a background. In March of 1980, after about 123 years of sitting silent, Mount St. Helens finally woke up to the tune of a 4.1 magnitude earthquake that let the locals pretty much know how to pay attention. A series of small quakes foretold what was about to happen, and on the morning of May 18th, just before 8:30 a.m., the volcano erupted into the history books. An ash column shot more than 15 miles into the air, and it completely obliterated everything within an 8-mile radius. It totally destroyed and reshaped the entirety of this region. The landscape went from looking like a lush, green, gorgeous forest to a barren wasteland that you might find in some sort of post-apocalyptic book or movie. As someone who's been out there and who's traveled a little bit, it's amazing to see how much it's recovered now. But when you look at it, you can only imagine what it looked like before And right after Mount St. Helens erupted, it must have looked absolutely crazy. And not only, though, did it change what the landscape looked like, it also introduced our winged friend to the world. In the months and years following the eruption, people would claim to see something extraordinary. It was described as being a humanoid creature with an ape-like body, glowing eyes, and sweeping bat-like wings. The issue, though, is that no one had ever said more than, "I saw something, and I don't know what it really was, but I do know that it had wings and, like, a face and glowing eyes and stuff." So it was very difficult to really narrow down and figure out exactly what this creature was. So before we get into it, let's kind of give a breakdown of what some of these sightings and what the description of this creature was. So if you're looking at the Bat Squatch, it's a humanoid in appearance. So it kind of looks like a person, and it's about 9 feet tall. It has a very muscular, strong build. It's bipedal, so it walks on 2 feet, and it has a body type very similar to a large ape. So imagine like a Sasquatch. It has short, kind of blue-tinted fur with yellow eyes that some people have reported glow. So we're not talking about just like a regular creature. We're talking about something with glowing, creepy, scary eyes. Also, it has a face that resembles a bat or a fox. So, aka, we'd call this a bat. So if you put those together, you get Bat Squatch. I know, it's pretty amazing, right? So it has wings like a bat. So not only does the face resemble a bat, but the wings of this thing also resemble a bat. And there have been reports where the wingspan could be approximately 90 feet. So that's a little bananas. However, there are some folks who said that they felt that the wingspan was somewhere between 20 to 30 feet. So if you think about it, think of this as like a furry Mothman. Think about the old picture of Mothman that you see in books and the statue that they have down there in Point Pleasant. It looks like a guy who's, you know, hairless and very buff. Imagine that with a level of blue hair on top of it. Now, I know that I said that the Bat Squatch was first sighted in Mount St. Helens after Mount St. Helens had erupted. But some people believe that there were some other sightings that predated this. For the most part, these all happened in Texas. So in January of 1976, there was two brothers. There was David and John Dott. They were driving down a secluded country road in Rio Grande Valley. All of a sudden, a creature flew in and it landed in front of their truck. They freaked out, obviously, as you would probably imagine. And they said as they looked at this creature, it was 8 to 10 feet tall and it had large bat-like wings. Now, this creature kind of like got up and hunched towards them, and they thought it was going to attack, but instead it just took off over them. Now, the brothers said as soon as this thing took over them and flew over their truck, it made this incredible whooshing sound. So imagine if you've ever been near like a large bird, when it flaps its wings, it kind of makes those whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. Well, Bat Squatch does that like times a thousand. So just put yourself in that position for a minute. You're sitting in a car, and all of a sudden you see this large creature fly and land in front of you. It gets up and it takes off, and as it takes off, it kicks up dirt and dust and just basically pure terror. That would be awful. Now, the next sighting happened in the same year, happened in 1976, but it happened in Hidalgo County, which is pretty much near Houston. There was a father and son there, and the two of them were hunting. Basically, what ended up happening is they're out there and they're hunting, and all of a sudden, this bat-like creature swooped in and it tried to grab Dad. Now, of course, what any son would do, you have two options, right? Either you're going to tuck tail and get the heck out of there and hope that Dad's life insurance is paid up, or you're going to stand and fight. So the son went ahead and he shot at it with his rifle, and he struck it. That made the creature let go of the dad and take off. Now, the reason that this is somewhat verified is, while we don't have names, the father went to the ER, and he was reported to have broken ribs, and he had verifiable deep talon cuts. Now, I know what you're thinking. There are lots and lots of large birds in Texas. I mean, you've got condors, you've got vultures, you got all sorts of things, right? What could this be? It could have been a bunch of things, right? So we'll take a little bit more of a look at that a little bit later on. But during 1976, actually through the entirety of the 70s, about 10 people had reported seeing sightings of this giant winged furry bat man flying around Texas. One of the things that I think lends a little bit of verification to this is that two of the folks that saw this were two police officers. So, I mean, these guys, generally a lot of folks are going to take the word of a police officer over, you know, just the father and a son who are out there fighting, fighting nature, who are out there hunting. But, I mean, you never know. You can't guarantee it, but that may add another level of verification to it. So 1994 was the year that we really had first true encounters that had a really good description about what happened. There was a young man, his name was Brian Canfield, and he was driving down a secluded road near Mount Rainier. He had a fully functioning truck that had just been serviced and worked really well, and he knew that it worked great. And as he was driving down this road, it just stopped working. Something came swooping down over his truck, kind of like what happened in Texas, but Canfield thought it was just simply a large bird. It kind of stood up and lurked, and it walked towards the truck, and Canfield said that it appeared to be about 9 feet tall. As it walked closer to him, he noticed that it had bluish fur, a bat-like face with sharp teeth and glowing yellow eyes. It also had sharp taloned feet that looked like those of some sort of bird of prey. So the creature came towards Canfield, but decided it kind of went off, and it made its way into a field. And as it made its way into the field, kind of the way that it sounds like it's described, is that this thing kind of jumped up and kind of swooped into the field. And he said that when the creature made its way into the field, it came in for a landing, kind of like an airplane would come in as it's coming down. So just imagine this creature. You're in your truck won't start, and you got this giant thing that's just like, oh, I'm going to take off over here and, you know, I don't know, pick flowers. Who knows? Maybe it's a friend of Barry. Barry really likes to pick flowers. So, but Brian Canfield actually went ahead and he described this incident. So he said, and I quote, "It was standing there staring at me like it was resting. Like it didn't know what to think. I was scared. It raised the hair on me. I didn't feel threatened, but I just felt out of place. It's looking right at me like in a deep stare, like right through me. It's standing perfectly still. It stood for how long? A few minutes. Several minutes. Then its fingers twitched and its wings began to unfold. Those wings were as wide as the road. It turned its head and looked back at me and started flapping its wings. A few minutes later, the truck just started. I took off as fast as I could." So, later on in that same year, there was another incident that was, you could kind of use to verify this a little bit. And it was a gentleman named Butch Whitaker. And he was kind of an adventurer. He climbed mountains, he wrestled polar bears, rode grizzly bears through the Klondike. But he was also a pilot. Most of that stuff isn't real, but don't tell your friends. But he was an amateur pilot, and he was flying over Mount Rainier in 1994. When he was up there, he looked out his window, and next to his plane, he saw some sort of humanoid-type creature flying next to him, and it kept up with his plane the entire time that he was flying. Eventually, it either got bored or realized that it could tear him limb from limb. I don't really know. I've never talked to a bat squatch, but it ended up just flying away. A couple years later, in 1998, there was a logging truck incident. So basically how this was is there was a log truck that had struck something in the road. It was first assumed that it was just a tree stump or a log that had fallen off another truck because it was driving. A witness had run out to help the truck driver and make sure that he was okay. And when he turned around to see what the truck had hit, he realized that it wasn't a stump, but it was a living creature. One of the kind of the sketchy things about this, though, is the way that it was written was it was posted on a blog anonymously, and then the person who posted it deleted any contact information that they had made in a profile. When this person was, they tried to reach out via email to get a little bit more information, the person wasn't there. They couldn't get anything. They couldn't find out anything. And a lot of people believe in the way that this story is written. It kind of seems like a short story. It has a very narrative feel to it. And not just like, I mean, if you think about what Brian Canfield saw and what he said, how he relayed his story, it sounds very honest and open and very kind of, you know, guttural. This anonymous logging road person, I believe in their short story, they said this thing was like 30 feet tall and it had a 90 feet wingspan. It's just weird. It might have been a creepypasta. I don't really know. And I will leave it on, I'll post it up on the webpage here in a day or so and kind of give you a chance to look at it. And you can kind of determine and see what you think. Now, there was another sighting a lot more recently, and that was in 2009. And this was actually something that happened on Mount Shasta. Now, looking into it, I realized that there's a lot of sketchy stuff that has happened on Mount Shasta. And I actually think at some point in the future, we're going to dig a little bit into some of the Mount Shasta sightings and see some of the stories that Mount Shasta has to offer. So at some point, we'll look at some of the legend and lore of Mount Shasta. But for now, let's go ahead and take a look at the Mount Shasta sighting, which happened not too long ago, about 10 years ago. So there was a group of folks who were hiking on the mountain when they got up pretty high and they noticed that they had seen something. So this is what they had to say about what they saw. Me and my friend were hiking around Mount Shasta, and out of one of the crevices flew this big creature. I mean, this thing was huge. It was as tall as a man and as stocky as Hulk Hogan and had leathery wings. I believe the wingspan had to be at least 50 feet from one end to the other. I was holding up my camera but was paralyzed with fear as this thing flew by. I didn't get a picture though, sorry. What do you think this might be? Could it have been a pterodactyl? It was flying or gliding fast. It seemed to have a head of a bat. Thinking about it, it didn't have the head of a pterodactyl. I just saw a picture of a pterodactyl and the heads are not even similar. I would think that it had the head of a bat or maybe more like a fox. The damn thing finally flew into a clump of trees and vanished. I heard you guys might be going back to Mount Shasta. If you do, please look out for this thing. Can you imagine that, though? You just see this giant creature. And I know I'm saying to imagine a lot of things during this episode, but it's just one of the things that fascinates me about the bat squatch, is just thinking about how big this thing had to have been. So, wow, that's all I can say. Even if it's not a cryptid, just whatever creature this is, it would make me poop. So, a little more recently, it seems that the bat squatch has followed suit of Barry and has taken a little bit of a vacation. So, as of June of 2015, there was a family in Columbia, Missouri, that actually claims to have come face-to-face with this creature. They were driving in Shannon County down this gravel road to the Blue Spring Trailhead. This family was going to do a little bit of hiking, but, of course, this winged entity, about 7 to 8 feet tall, with leathery wings that went from its shoulders to the ground, landed in front of them. It was pretty dark black in color, but it had pointy ears on a triangular-shaped head, and it had these yellow, piercing eyes. And I know what you're thinking. It was not Ben Affleck. So I'm sorry. But, I mean, that one's a little less descript. It does very much fit what a bat squatch would be, but I don't know. It's very difficult to just chalk every crazy thing up to a bat squatch. I mean, who knows? Maybe it was a bat squatch. Maybe he decided the Northwest was a little too rainy for him and he wanted to go get some sun. I don't know. But there are a lot of possible explanations for this thing. Some of them are crazy. Some of them are, you know, a little more believable. So, and we're just going to go through a couple of those. And one of my favorites is that it's a misidentified Mothman. So what I mean by that is when Mothman appeared, he kind of appeared as an omen of doom, right? A lot of people feel that when he showed up in Point Pleasant, it was to say something terrible was going to happen. So some folks have claimed to have seen this bat squatch creature around Mount St. Helens prior to the eruption. Other folks have said that they didn't hear it, or they didn't see it, rather, and that, I mean, it was just, maybe it was the Mothman. Who knows? Another thing that I was reading quite a bit about that some folks believe is that this may have been some sort of frozen or unidentified creature. So the frozen part isn't, I mean, obviously it's not Elsa, but they believe that it may have been frozen in some substance beneath the ground. And when the volcano erupted, it heated it up so much that it thawed out this creature and he was able to get out and fly around and stuff. But, I mean, I can't imagine what he would have been frozen in. I mean, maybe ice. But if it's hot enough to melt ice, I'm not entirely certain. But, I mean, it is an interesting theory to think, though. And then kind of the flip side of that is maybe this was a creature that was flushed from some sort of underground habitat around the volcano. So not necessarily like one of the lizard people that lives in the center of the Earth, according to some folks. But, I mean, there's so much of the Earth that we haven't explored, especially when it comes to geologic terms. I mean, maybe there's sinkholes, maybe there's caverns, maybe there's all sorts of stuff. These folks on Mount Shasta claim to have seen Batsquatch fly out of a crevice. So if you think about how many points and peaks and mountains there are, who knows? Maybe Batsquatch was some sort of creature that lived deeper than one of these caves or these crevices or these mountains. And when St. Helens erupted, it had to get the heck out of there. So, I mean, who knows, right? Another one of my favorite theories, obviously, is that the Mount St. Helens eruption, we all know, was incredibly, incredibly violent. It did an immense amount of damage and destruction. It literally changed the face of an entire area. Some people believe that this eruption was so violent that it actually tore a hole between two dimensions, and this bat squatch emerged from that hole. There's a lot out there that we don't know as a species. So, I mean, maybe there is some other dimensions, and bat squatch, I don't know, maybe he's like Batman. You know, he's like fighting crime in the other verse. I'm not terribly certain. Then there's two other possible explanations. One is that this was a practical joke or a hoax that just went too far. Obviously, some people will hear these hoaxes or these things and they'll just kind of latch onto it and then they'll run with it. Now, the last explanation that I heard that honestly, thinking about this, that I agree quite a bit with is it's just a case of misidentification. Especially thinking about the case in Hidalgo with the father and son that were hunting. I mean, the guy had talon marks. There was police reports out there. I didn't get my hands on them, but I'm sure if I dug deeper, I could find them. But he literally was cut pretty deep from obvious talon marks. Now, if they were out hunting, like in a field, if they got too close, I mean, to a lot of things. They could have got close to, you know, an eagle's nest. And by close, I mean, you only have to get within a few hundred yards of that before an eagle decides that, you know, you're infringing upon its turf. Time to GTFO. If that was the case, I mean, there's obviously a chance that it was a case of misidentification. it could have just been a large eagle or something that came down and grabbed them, or, you know, it doesn't explain the 30-foot wingspan, but in some cases, you know, your blood is pumping, you're all excited, then this giant vulture or condor, especially around Mount Shasta, I would assume that there's condors out there, right? Or just other large vulture-typed birds that would come out there, and it would mess you up pretty bad if it just came whoosh, flying out of a crevice. So it might only have like a 10-foot wingspan or an 8-foot wingspan, but it's going to scare the bejesus out of you. And oh my goodness, it was 50 feet. So, I mean, who knows, right? Well, that's bat squatch. In a lot of my readings, the tales and legends of bat squatch were quite interesting. I think one of the worst parts of bat squatch is the fact that his name is bat squatch. If we could come up with a better name, like Charles, perhaps, maybe they would take him a little more serious. But I'm not really certain. But our good friend the Bat Squatch lives all around the country. And who knows, maybe he's a traveler from another dimension, or maybe he's just, you know, he's one of Barry's homies and they're, you know, sitting in some hot spring chewing on licorice or something. Who really knows? Either way, like I said before, I really want to thank you guys for supporting the pod. We couldn't be where we are without you guys, and we're continually growing each and every day, and it's great. We're seeing a lot, of growth, a lot of really great interactions with folks, and we just sent out some awesome things to some folks who are listeners, and that was just kind of a small token of our appreciation, but we have a lot coming up in 2019. One of the things that I mentioned at the end of 2018 was that we started a website. So if you go to monstersandfriends.wordpress.com, there's going to be some stuff posted up there. I'm going to post that creepypasta about Bat Squatch on there. And we'll probably post some backlogs as well, like the Duerku story, the poem, and some other things. You know, just some stuff to say thank you. And then in 2019, we are also going to be launching a Patreon page. You may notice as you're listening that there are ads in the podcast now. We are trying to make sure that they are in a place that's not super obstructive. They just pop up in the middle there. Sorry, I know Barry listened to one and kind of jumped. But this is a passion project. However, unfortunately, passion doesn't pay the bills. So you'll notice that there are some ads in the middle and the end and possibly the beginning, kind of wherever our host decides to pop them in. But we really appreciate you guys kind of hanging out there. Just hit that forward 15-second button. Not that the sponsors are listening, but, you know, we'll go from there. But we are going to open up that Patreon page. I will post that link probably at some point during the course of this week. I will let everyone know, though. And if you just want to give a little bit, there are different tiers. I will go into those different tiers probably on the next podcast, go a little more specific into it, or maybe we'll release, you know, an extra on the website. I mean, really, it's not going to be that interesting thing. But there's going to be some really cool stuff. I know that one of the things is Barry is very, very excited. He is going to host a documentary review. And if you've been listening to his episodes, you know what that documentary generally consists of. So it should be pretty fun, and we'll send out monthly newsletters with some cryptid information. Barry will tell you kind of where his cousins are, and we'll go from there. However, with all that being said, this is probably my longest pod. Looking at the clock, we're just at about a half hour. So I know it's a little more than the commuter pod normally. A lot of the pods moving forward are probably going to go closer to 30 minutes just because there's so much information to give, and I don't want to jam it in there too much, but who knows? Maybe we'll cut it down a little bit if you don't want to hear me talking too much. However, thank you guys so much. Please feel free to check us out, engage with us, talk to us, let me know what you want to see. I know we have a lot of really exciting monsters and cryptids coming up here, a couple legends and lores as well. But if you want to give us a little bit of feedback or tell us what you want to hear, you can always check us out on the Twitter. If you go to @MNFpod, that's our handle on the Twitter. If you look at Instagram, we are @monstersandfriends. And then on Facebook, if you go to facebook.com/monstersandfriends, you can go ahead and you can find us. Make sure to say hi, give us a like. If you enjoy the podcast, go ahead and subscribe. on whatever listening device or listening service that you listen to, whether that be iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, whatever else is out there. I don't really know. Carrier Pigeons, do they do podcasts? Yeah, either way. Go ahead and subscribe. If you could, rate and review. It helps out a whole lot. And then keep an eye out on the social media places for our Patreon page and just a little bit more information about stuff on our blog. So thank you so much for spending the last half hour with me talking about the Bat Squatch and listening to me jabber on and on and on. So thank you so much. I hope you had a great holiday season and a wonderful Christmas and a happy new year, and that your 2018 or 2019, wherever we are and whatever year it is, I hope you like it. It's a lot of fun, right? Love you. All right. Thank you guys so much for coming out and visiting us here in the cabin. And we'll talk to you again real soon.